Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues each and every day. Let me remind you that you are an integral part of this broadcast each day. We invite your dialogue and discussion on the issue. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We're looking forward to your dialogue and discussion. We're still talking about the rampage that took place in Uvalde, Texas, where 21 people were slain, and the massacre by Salvador Romez. We are concerned about the happening. We are in prayer and mourning with the families and the loss of their children in that tragic event. But ladies and gentlemen, it's far deeper and far broader than just trying to figure out what to do with guns. I'm talking about today, it's not a gun problem, it's a God problem. It's not a gun problem, it's a God problem. Should we just, as American citizens, surrender our guns? Should we, as American citizens, just surrender our nation to the evil that's taking place? Should we just surrender our lives and our protection to the government? Ladies and gentlemen, all of these folks in Washington is now screaming and crying and hollering and pulling their hair out with the hair on fire that we need to confiscate guns, we need to ban guns, we need to have some kind of gun control laws. All of those that are saying that, they have a whole repertoire of armed security around them, for the most part, 24/7. But we the people, we the citizens, we're not supposed to protect ourselves, have any weapons that could protect us. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what they're pushing for. And they're using this shooting, this massacre in Texas, as the excuse to do so. We're going to examine some of the elements of that today. And some of the major things we want to discuss today is what caused Salvador Romez to do what he did. What caused him to go in and shoot 21 people? What was his motive? What was the purpose? What made him do that? What was the cause and effect of it? Now they're talking about mental illness, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Many times that is the case, but I'm going to talk about some things today that I believe is far more interesting and poignantly pointed to the problem at hand than just a blanket statement of mental illness in our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the Word of God that should be the lamp unto our feet, the light unto our pathway, according to Psalms 119, verse 105. That should be the position that we take. We should look at it on the basis that the Word of God gives illumination for what we need to do each and every day. It gives the plan, the protocol, the process, the modus operandi of all that we do. It is, I call it the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am truth." And further, he makes a declaratory statement in John 17, 17, "Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the Word of God that ought to be that which we utilize to determine what we do, where we go, what we say, and how we respond. It's having a central Biblicist worldview. A central Biblicist worldview simply says that whatever occurs, whatever the event, whatever is taking place, we look at it through the prism, we look at it through the lens of the Word of God. God's Word gives us insight and wisdom as to how we respond to these events as we're facing today with the shooting in Texas. And we have a lot of folks today that have differing opinions. We'll talk about some of those today in this broadcast. We're going to, again, remind you that that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. After we finish our brief monologue, we invite your calls, your comments, your dialogue, and discussion about it. What do you think happened? What caused Ramez to do what he did in relationship to the shooting of 21 people? What was the reason behind Ramos's decision to just simply run in with the automatic weapons and start shooting? We understand he locked himself in one of the classrooms, and before the time was up, he was in there about an hour. Before the time was up, he had massacred all in that classroom. What caused him to do that? Salvador Ramos. We're going to talk about that on this broadcast, but it's the truth that we need to talk about. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we find today an admixture, a juxtaposition of truth and error, a juxtaposition of fact and fiction, and even in relationship to this massacre that took place in Texas. There are a lot of things floating around on the internet, a lot of ideas and summary statements and knee-jerk opinions as to what needs to be done. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about what is real, what is realistic, and what is biblical in relationship to it. I go to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And that's the position that I take, that we need to stand on the truth of the Word of God. We need to seek the truth and be willing to defend the truth, even to death. And the further we go in this era, the closer I believe we are to the day in which every Christian, every conservative, and every patriot will face death if we stand for the centrality of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands with Honda and Echo equipment. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, that can answer all of your questions about backup power equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right in the heart of Mandarin. Ladies and gentlemen, there's an identification marker there, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. You'll find a 165-foot flagpole, Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find that flag and flagpole. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 ladies and gentlemen, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment. Tools for Time is closed on Sundays so that you can worship with your family in the house of God, with the family of God, as God ordained it for each of us to do. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time. Make your application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does as far as placing you in the family of Tools for Time, located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the lines are open. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. It's not a gun problem, it's a God problem. Ladies and gentlemen, the question begs to be asked and answered. What are we to do as American citizens? We hear the rumblings in Washington, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and each of the others that are pushing for gun control. Every time someone is shot by a weapon, there's the push for gun control, and yet there's nothing said. Nothing, N-O-T-H-I-N-G, said, nothing mentioned, nothing even alluded to by the president or others in authority in the political realm when you find, just as last weekend, 27 people shot in Chicago. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, we find Chicago and New York and L.A. and other places across our nation, all of them seemingly are the blue cities and blue states. we find all of those, ladies and gentlemen, with major, major, major astronomical shootings taking place. And nothing is said about gun control in those blue cities and blue states. But when it comes to something like in the shooting in Texas, all of a sudden there's a mindset that we need to just simply outlaw everything that's called a gun, a weapon. Should we just surrender our guns? Should we depend on the government, ladies and gentlemen, to protect our homes and our families and our freedom? Yet, ladies and gentlemen, there's some that are talking about some of these talking heads. I watched some of the talking heads on early morning television news this morning, generally between 6:30 and 7:30. I'm watching to see what the news anchors are talking about, how they're treating very serious subjects. But this morning on the television news, they were advocating some of the following. I've outlined just four or five things that I recall that they were advocating this morning on news. Number one, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. If this is not so way out, weird, and stupid, it would be laughable, but it is very dangerous. One of the talking heads suggested this morning that the problem is social media, that the social media is to follow and to trace and to track everyone and report anything that they feel to be dangerous for society. You see, they go back and they latch onto the fact that this person that did the shooting, the 18-year-old Salvador Ramos, that Ramos had posted online, and he did. He posted just about a half hour before the mass murder, before the massacre took place. He posted online that he had just shot his grandmother and was on the way to find a elementary school to do some shooting. So it was premeditated, and we'll talk about that further in this broadcast, premeditated. He already had his body armor on so that he could protect himself while he's doing the massacre, the murders of others. But ladies and gentlemen, there's some today that say that we need to have social media further involved in the control of our lives. Now, I want to ask you a question. Are you in agreement with that? If you're listening to this broadcast today, do you believe that social media needs to be more involved to do something in relationship tracing, tracking, following, and reporting to the federal government anything that they think, that they seem to believe, that is wrong or could be errant and cause a problem? That puts social media in a position they're going to become our voice for free speech, our voice for freedom of speech, and they will be the ones that will be the arbiters making the decision whether or not we say something right or wrong. And then it will unleash the federal government or the state governments on anybody that social media determines or deems has said something wrong online. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's the question, but that's what's being promulgated by some of the talking heads as of this morning on national television. I believe we have Mary on the line. Go over the question or comment, please. Hello?
Hello?
Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Oh, I got a comment, Mr. Jock Youngblood. You made a comment about more gun control and stuff. But what I understand, the United States is with one of the most powerful Army, Navy, Marine, DA, CIA, police. So my question is, why do citizens need to be armed with AR? And another thing is, they show all these pictures of these babies on TV, what they look like in the past. Show America what an AR does to a human being. They rip and shred these babies to parts. And America needs to see that. I'm tired of them making it so beautiful. Show the babies how well they look in the past. The parents have to go in and identify these babies by their DNA. DNA. Why do American citizens need an AR in their home when we got the Navy, the Army, the Air Force, the Pentagon, the DEA, the CIA, the police, and every armed forces there out there? If they want to carry guns, go join one of those forces. We do not need it in our homes.
Well,
I'm for having a gun, but not an AR. Show Americans what an AR does to a human being.
I am thankful for your input. Let me jump in a moment. I'm thankful for your input and your opinion. Every opinion is appreciated and welcomed. But let me just suggest this. The Army, the Navy, the Marines, they're not going to be at your door when the thugs that come to your door to destroy your family and your life. They will not be at your door. If we follow what is now required by the federal government. You'll have your weapon unloaded. It will be in a locked box. You've got to, when the burglar's breaking in, you got to say, "Hey, Mr. Burglar, wait a minute. Let me find the key. Let me open my lock box. Let me find my gun. Oh, yes, let me run down the hallway, go in the closet, look in a bag, find the ammo to go in it. Then I can load it. Then I can shoot you, Mr. Burglar." That's the problem that we have with society today.
No, the problem is that we need to get rid of the Navy. Quit putting our money and our funding into the other armed forces. Give everybody guns and ammunition, and that way you protect your square footage of your property. Do not sit here and say you need weapons and all of these armed forces to protect your life. That is a bunch of crap. Show them what an AR does to a person in your home. Tell me this. How many people's homes got broken in last night? The whole America, USA, get broken in last night? No, they did not.
So hundreds of thousands, if I can interrupt your tirade for just a moment. Hundreds of thousands got broken into. What about the 27 that were shot in Chicago just over the weekend, last weekend? What about the thousands upon thousands each year that get murdered, and yet things like Black Lives Matter do nothing about that? Folks that say that we don't need to have guns, all of those in Washington have an entourage of protection around them, and that protection around them are all armed to the teeth with not just side weapons, but also long guns, as it's called. And people make it out to believe that somehow an AR-15 is a weapon of war. AR-15 happens to be a long barrel weapon that's an automatic weapon that can do no less damage than anything that's an automatic weapon on your sidearm as a sidearm. So I believe that we need to leave the Second Amendment alone. The Second Amendment says not to be infringed upon. Not to be infringed upon simply means you do not arbitrarily and capriciously, as government agents, say what we can have and what we can't have. It's left up to the individual. I believe that it should be left up to the individual based on the freedom that we have in our Bill of Rights. But thank you so much for your call and your opinion. I believe we have another caller on the line. Give you the question or comment, please.
Hello, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I pray that you are.
I'm doing well. My blood's a little bit raised right now. You did a much better job than I would have with her, but I will say something there. Evil knows only one thing, and that's evil. An evil person is a predatory individual there. If that school would have been properly manned with sufficient staff who were trained in what they were supposed to do, he would have never gotten away with what he did. And my answer to the woman that just called there, I was in the military. As a matter of fact, I was in a very elite arm of the military there. I've been trained with multiple weapons there. For her to tell me that I have no right to possess a weapon to defend my loved ones in my home is hypocritical on her part. Because if she lived next door to me and somebody were to advance or break or invade her home, I would use my weapon in her defense. Absolutely. She has not a clue of what she's speaking of. I hate to be that way, but that got my blood rising.
Absolutely. In fact, it goes back to the fact the Second Amendment clearly says in the Second Amendment not to be infringed upon. And any curtailing of the citizen's right to keep and bear arms of any type weapon. Listen, it doesn't take an AR-15. It doesn't take a 38 or 9mm or a Sig Sauer 380. It can take any of those, but a rock or a stone. In fact, the Islamic world today is using machetes and swords. You find a baseball bat, a rock, or something that can be a cudgel to beat somebody in the head. We're going to outlaw baseball bats? We're going to outlaw rocks and stones or swords or knives? No. But somehow, somewhere, there's a mindset with some in society that we need to curtail our Second Amendment right. And those that are pushing that from the Washington Beltway are those that have 24/7 security guards at our expense. I am incensed by it. But, Jim, while you're on the line, there are other opinions as of today. Others are suggesting that we need to expand the red flag laws. Not only that we need to have some way to trace, track, and default through social media, turning that information over to the federal or state governments, but we need to expand the red flag laws. Are you familiar with the red flag law? Could you speak on that? What is your position? Should we expand the red flag laws? What does that law do, and is it valid, and is it beneficial?
Some of the red flag laws, I can understand them. I mean, if you have a domestic abuse circumstance where the police are called to a home and the husband has beat the wife, or vice versa, the wife has beat the husband, and they have a history of violence, they probably should have their weapons taken away, but they shouldn't have them taken away on a permanent basis there. They should have to go through an anger management or something, you know, to keep these two apart. Right. It's a really hard question there, but whenever it leaves too much open, somebody could just accuse somebody, oh, well, my neighbor came out and he looked at me aggressively, and then they come and take it. That's wrong.
Absolutely. Jim, in fact, Jim, right here in the state of Florida, we've had some 700 or 800 cases since the red flag law went into effect under Rick Scott's leadership as governor. And with the red flag law, you can get angry at your boss. You can get angry at your neighbor. You can get angry at someone down the street and make an accusation, insane, asinine, untrue accusation, that he's walking up and down the street waving his weapon. He's dangerous. And that's all it takes. The next morning at sunup, you got the thugs with badges knocking on your door, and they have the right to go in and take your weapon. Then you have the right to go back in court 2, 3, 4, 5 years later and try to get your weapon back and your reputation restored. Therein lies the problem. The red flag law is designed, supposed to be to help us to prevent, i.e., anybody that has a mental problem. But what is deemed to be that ought to be something that is carried out in the courts for there to be the court decision prior to the confiscation of a weapon, not after the confiscation of a weapon. And so I'm personally against the extension of the red flag law. Red flag law further extension would mean, basically, if anything on social media would advocate that or would indicate that there's something wrong with you, then social media could be the one to be the arbiter on that. Social media could be the one then to notify state, local, or federal law enforcement. And as a result of that, you have Big Brother that is watching everything that you do, that not knowing what is the indication of the promulgation of what you're doing, and anybody can make an accusation. Not, but I think there's 23 states now, 24 states, that have the red flag laws, and the state of Florida is one of them. I'm adamantly opposed to any portion of the red flag law because it allows a person with a unfounded claim to put you in a position that you've got to spend thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars defending your reputation and to get your Second Amendment right restored. But yet they're talking about that. We're talking about, it's not the gun, it's God. It's a God problem. And that is a spiritual problem, is the rudimentary, fundamental, elemental problem in America. And Jim, I know that you're aware of that, and I am thankful for your call. Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh.
God bless you today, Dr. Youngblood. Be good.
Thank you. God bless you. Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what has taken place with the shooting in Texas with Salvador Ramos and what he did going into the school. And as our previous one of the previous callers talked about, she was a little irate in relationship to AR-14s or any other long weapon. If he had had a magazine with 10, 15, 20 shots and do a fast reload, he could have done the same thing with an automatic pistol, or he could have done the same thing with just a regular revolver with a bag full of ammo. He could have done the same thing because he was locked in a room. Nobody could get to him, and he had 1 hour in that room, 1 hour in that room before they neutralized him. He had 1 hour to massacre 21 people in that 1 hour after he bolted himself into, locked himself down, sequestered himself into that classroom. Even others are saying that to raise the age from 18 to 21 to be able to buy a self-defense weapon from 18 to 21. Ladies and gentlemen, if that's done, that means if a person is 18 years old, and a lot of 18-year-olds that get married, if he's 18 years old, he could not buy a weapon to protect his home and his family. If a person is 18 and can go into the military and be required to carry a weapon and protect our nation, why can't he protect his home at 18? I'm against raising the age level in order to be able to protect your home. And the Second Amendment, ladies and gentlemen, the Bill of Rights and the Second Amendment, it did not say anything about an age limit or a threshold for age before you could exercise your Second Amendment right. It is the right of every citizen to protect himself and his family and his home. There's the right and the responsibility to do so. I would be in serious error if I did not try to protect my family and my home. And that's the responsibility of everyone at the sound of my voice. And yet it's the knee-jerk response that you always get in relationship to what needs to be done. In fact, I'm looking at an article. Elon Musk favors some gun control. headline says, calls for special assault rifle permits for extremely well-vetted people. Musk says assault rifles, and he's calling it assault rifle. I want somebody to tell me, what is an assault rifle? What is an assault weapon? What makes it a, if you pull a weapon out and you go against somebody without cause, that could be an assault. It's an assault weapon. But he says, Musk says assault rifles should require a special permit where the recipient is extremely well vetted. He goes on to say, oh, this article says, Tesla CEO Elon Musk commented Thursday morning on gun control measures following Tuesday's Texas elementary school massacre, where the shooting killed 19 children and two adults. In a tweet, Elon Musk gave his opinion that assault rifles should, at a minimum, require a special permit where the recipient is extremely well vetted. President Biden called for the changes in all of our gun laws in America, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, do you believe that's necessary? What's your position on that? The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Then, ladies and gentlemen, there are others who are pushing Biden to simply increase restrictions on our Second Amendment right to have universal background checks. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you say, well, a universal background check, that'd be wonderful. Where your person gets checked. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not what it means when they talk about a universal background check. A universal background check, they're talking about if you own a weapon, if I own a weapon and I loan it to my wife, or if I loan it to my son and they use it in a case of self-defense, I can be prosecuted on a federal level because I didn't have a background check allowing them to have the use of my weapon to protect themselves in the home. That's what they talk about. They talk about universal background check, where everybody at a gun show needs to be background checked. That's done today, ladies and gentlemen. If you buy a weapon in a gun show, you still have to have a background check before you can take possession of that weapon. When they use the term, it's the buzz term, universal background check, they're simply saying that they will prevent anybody from transferring just the use of that gun, not the ownership of that gun, the use of that weapon in the home or with the family. That is a very, very dangerous phenomena to put into place, ladies and gentlemen. Here's one. Here's an article. Biden urges the country to stand up to the gun lobby in the wake of the Uvalde school shooting. The article is dated May 24th. President Joe Biden passionately called on Congress to pass gun control legislation, urged the country to stand up to the gun lobby. Tuesday, just hours after the gunman killed 18 and two adults, nabbed 19 and two adults, ladies and gentlemen. Biden admitted we can't prevent every tragedy, but he vowed that he preferred gun control measures to reduce the violence. Ladies and gentlemen, every city, every state across America that's got some of the most strict gun control laws in the nation, they have the highest number of gun shootings and gun violence of any place in the nation. Gun control. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you a question. How many additional gun laws would it take to stop mass murders? How many additional gun laws would it take to stop the shooting as took place in Texas? How many more would it take? Would it take one, two, a dozen, two dozen, another hundred? There's not but about 200 plus thousand gun laws in America today. All of them are an infringement on our Second Amendment right. You take about 200,000. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, if 10 commandments, 10 laws will not work, how can we add other laws and think that they're going to make life easier in America? Ladies and gentlemen, on the balance of this broadcast today, we're going to talk about the answer to it. We're going to talk about the answer to this problem. There is an answer. There is a resolution. There is a solution to what we're talking about in these problems that we're facing today. Ladies and gentlemen, even Kamala Harris also addressed the shooting during the speech Tuesday night. She said, enough is enough, she told the crowd. As a nation, we have to have the courage to take action and understand the nexus between what makes for a reasonable and sensible public policy to ensure something like this never happens again. Ladies and gentlemen, the only way you can assure that nothing like this ever happens again is if you take humanity out of the picture. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and wicked above all. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. It's the wicked heart that has the finger that pulls the trigger that's the problem and not the gun. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. We're going to take one minute out for the top of the hour news. We'll be right back right after the news as we face the issues.
V. This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.